buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We hope you had a great weekend, and we are ready now for the first full week of April, Monday, April 3rd, 2017. Where has the year gone? First quarter already in the books. Buckmaster Show available for you, of course, by listening to the good old radio on AM 1030 KVOI. But so many people now listen to the program via the computer, and that's where we've really got you covered. On my website, we have what they call the live stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And, of course, we have all of our programs available on our podcast. So we make it very convenient for you to access this program. We also make it convenient for you to call in and join the program. It's 790-2040. Monday is face-off day, and that usually gets folks one way or another. They usually have some opinion on what we're talking about. Our Monday political face-off today featuring our team of commentators, John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, was former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. He ran for governor as a Republican candidate in 2010. Vince Robigo is also a well-known attorney in town, and he is a longtime Democratic Party activist, former candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010, and he heads up the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by my friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They do a great job. Moe Gall, Mr. Gall and his family, they've been running the business since 1985, so they didn't just get off the bus yesterday. These are people that really know how to take care of all of your framing needs. We've had some beautiful mirrors, custom frame mirrors installed by Mo, and that is a good feature of his business. They make house calls, make it very easy for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell & Dodge, Moe's Gallery, at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John Munger, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
You understand you played some golf.
Played a couple rounds of golf, had some fun.
And Vince, how is you're trying to get over this sinus deal, and the air quality was horrible.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yes.
So
that
doesn't help.
It's been rough. The week prior, I had had a great time. We went off for TUSD spring break and went to California and all the fun, stuff like Universal Studios and so on. But when I came back, I just got a terrible sinus infection. I hadn't had one in years. Mm-hmm. Pretty much knocked me
the
out
allergens
the entire last week. And then you had the allergy season on top of that.
Yeah.
So
with all the Palo Verde in bloom, and correct me if I'm wrong, but normally it's like mid to late April when you get all the Palo Verde going. It's early this year.
I don't know about the Palo Verde. March has always been a tough month for me.
Yeah.
And I suppose early April.
Gentlemen, let's talk about health care. And it's difficult, Vince and John, I think, for most of the rest of the world, the industrialized world, where universal access to health care is the norm, for these people to understand the magnitude of the cost of health insurance and treatment in the United States. For many Americans, even a simple trip to the general practitioner can cost you $50 with insurance. For those without insurance, it can cost hundreds of dollars, and care is then frequently foregone because it's just simply too expensive. Should health care be a right in this country? And even though I realize it is not mentioned in the Constitution that it is a right. Vince, you begin.
Well, it's an interesting and important discussion to have. What's interesting and somewhat ironic to some degree is that our country has more than 50, 60 years ago recognized it as a right because the United States is a signatory to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights back in 1948, which talks about having access to health care and so on. So, as a country, we have signed on to the principle that it is a right. We certainly it's not specifically mentioned in the Constitution.
No.
And as I think everyone agrees, there are different types of rights, right? Not everything is a constitutional right. You can have rights that are set forth in law. Mm-hmm. And then certainly our framers believe that they were inalienable rights. Even the Constitution itself speaks of rights that are not spoken of. When you look at in the Bill of Rights, it talks about, the rights that are reserved to the people or the states. So the question is should it be a right or is it a right? Well, it certainly is a right that we've said we aspire to, but we haven't seen it enshrined in law. And I think, as a system, we look at our healthcare system, right? And then you look at, well, what should we provide? What ought to be provided? And I personally think that a minimum basic standard of care should be a right. Mm-hmm. And then the debate becomes, well, how do we get there? And so I don't know what John's perspective is, whether or not it should be a right or is not a right and all of that.
John,
I'd be interested to see what his perspective is.
John, what is your perspective?
Well, it'll probably surprise you. I think that I agree with most of what Vince has said. It is not a technical legal right.
No.
The Declaration of Human Rights does provide for access, which is not a right. Access could imply, well, it's there if you can pay for it. But I really think that the zeitgeist of the American public has changed. And I think that the American public believes that everybody has a right to health care. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a result of Obamacare. And I'm not saying good or bad, it is. Mm-hmm. And for all my conservative friends out there, I think you've got to live with reality. And I think that the problem we've had with the Freedom Caucus, for example, is that they don't recognize that that's what the American public believes. So... we've got to deal with the fact that the American public believes that they have a right to health care. And by saying that, I think most people out there today, better or worse, believe that if you can't afford health care, somebody else has got to pay for it. Now, that comes with it. I'm not judging whether that's good or bad. I think in the end, it's extremely expensive. I think it could well bankrupt the country, but I think we're there. And so insofar as the health bill is concerned, my view is I don't care personally whether we repeal Obamacare with a good replacement that includes paying for health care for people that otherwise can't afford it in some manner or subsidizing it. I don't care if we do that or if we just fix Obamacare. It makes no difference to me. I think the reality is that the American public wants to do this, and I don't think you can go back.
All right. So
I think we're stuck with trying to figure out how we're going
to
do that.
All right, let's go to the live line. People want to talk about this. I suspected they would. Jim Kelly is with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good.
You're reading my Facebook posts, I take it.
Always.
Listen, the problem with health insurance right now is that, for the most part, it's either employer-subsidized or employer-paid. And the employee pays a portion, depending upon the benefit level that a particular company wants to bring people in to work. The problem with employer-paid health insurance is it's not portable. The other problem is like John said, the zeitgeist has changed. We are in a different world. We don't stay with the same employer in the same town for 40 and 50 years anymore. We're moving jobs every 5 years. Often we're moving our entire residence every 7 years. So this needs to be portable. Now, the law doesn't allow for portability right now. And the marketplace has not filled that void of portability because of the law. So if we could change the law for portability, that people can pool together through association, not employment, I think we could finally fix this without the government having to take over everything and being single payer. It's either that or that's it. We either change and fix what I just said, or we really are going to have to go to single payer.
Okay.
And that is just ripe for more fraud, waste, and abuse.
Yeah, let me add a thought. I like the portability. I think what nobody is talking about and is the most single most important thing that needs to happen is that we focus on health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is focusing on the cost of medicine, the cost of products and services that are rendered to the consumer. And what we need to do is make the costs of products and services by physicians, hospitals, and pharmacies transparent. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. The public needs to be able to shop according to price. And right now, they can't do that. They don't do that. You go to the hospital, you don't ask questions what it's going to cost. You just charge it to your insurance. And prices don't go down. If the marketplace got involved, we could get the cost of medicine down. And that's the only way to get the cost of health insurance down in the end.
Vince, your thoughts before we take our break, please.
Well, I think, you know, there's good points being raised. I think there's also some problematic aspects, and that is if you're only focusing on retaining it as a market-based idea. And it has been a market-based system, and the costs have gone out of control. And the services have gone out of control because to the extent that there's competition, you have essentially hospitals trying to outcompete each other with the most expensive machinery, services, and there's a tremendous amount of overcare and also a tremendous amount of undercare. So the market has not resolved these, whether there's portability or not, and the insurance industry has been making off like a bandit.
Well.
So I have some disagreements with that. How it's working in the marketplace and whether or not it would bankrupt. I don't think it would bankrupt the system to go towards a single-payer system, nor is government, contrary to Mr. Kelly's view, in control of everything. It doesn't have to be – it's not going to be in control of the doctors or the healthcare decisions between doctors and their patients if there was, like John says, a transparent fee-based schedule system.
Well, that's
so you can have private doctors receiving private care decisions with their doctors in a system that is a national single-payer system without the government, quote-unquote, controlling everything.
John, hold your thought. We do need to go to the break. Okay, and Carl, I know you've been holding. We'll be right back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Back right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Arizona Gives Day, Tuesday at noon on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI.
Welcome back. It is our Monday political face-off. Vince Robigo and John Munger were talking about health care. Is it a right to have health care in this country, and we realize it is not a constitutional right. John, I know you've got some thoughts, but Carl's been waiting.
Sure,
and you
put
are,
Carl on.
Then you're going to be up. Okay, go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, just a quick question for both of you, and I'm really very curious about this. Who makes the decision as to who gets what level of health care? 82-year-old grandfather who needs a heart transplant, who is on Social Security and a retirement check, or does the money need to go to some 18, 19-year-old boy that was in a car accident through no fault of his own that needs very, very advanced prosthetics for his legs after an amputation? There's only a fixed amount of money that's in the pool, and somebody is going to have to make the decision. And it goes back, you know, we hate the term death panels, but like it or not, there's triage within medical care. Who is it that is going to make those decisions, and how are they going to get made?
Well, that's a great question, and of course that's been a question that's been asked in England, and we haven't gotten good answers. There have been people who have been refused medical care because they're too old under the single-payer system, and that is not good. I don't believe in that, especially as an elderly person myself. But
well, you're not elderly, but an older person.
Older,
yeah.
but I think that what has to happen in this country is we've got to make the system competitive, both as to products and services. We've got to get back to the private. You lower the price of medical care and services. That will result in the lower price of health care or health insurance. And then you've got to have the additional element of competition, which we don't have. There are many states now and counties in the country that have no Obamacare insurer. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. I saw a map of it the other day. It's scary. And so we've got to get back. I agree with Vince. It's either got to go back to a private system, mm-hmm. or we're going to have a single-payer system. And I think what Congress needs to do and President Trump needs to do is go in and do their best to fix the system if they have to, I don't care about repealing Obamacare. I mean, I think that has gotten to be a political thing.
It's a political mantra.
I don't care if they repeal it, but get a system that works and then work on it, or that works better, and then continue to fix it and tweak it as we come up with problems. If that doesn't work, getting back as best we can to transparent costs and of services and products, competitive insurance with minimum government oversight, if that doesn't work, it will go to a single payer system whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm. My answer to the question is that I'm not sure I agree with the assumption that there's only X amount. We know there's only X amount, but we know that of dollars, but we know that it is being spent in a very unwise fashion, and that there are huge costs that keep spiraling out of control. And so if you take a system out of what we have now, and let's say, for example, I think the U.S., the administrative costs and burdens are like 30%, and we're talking, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. And if you change to systems where, you know, you have, 3%, like you look at Medicare, 3 to 6%, whatever the administrative overhead is, and you shave that off, there's a tremendous amount of money that right now is being spent in an inefficient market.
So you're saying if you could do a single payer with only a 3 to 6% administrative.
Yeah, you could get less, you know, potentially.
Yeah,
but let me finish my point.
Okay.
So you have all this money then in a system that then is operating with John's saying, in a transparent way where it is equitable in the sense that everybody has an access to it, and you have schedules by which, well, this is what this should cost, mm-hmm. right? And we're not going to overpay you for something really if you figured out, well, okay, this is really what should cost
for a prosthesis. This is the menu of
correct.
What it's going
to
cost.
And so I'm not sure that we're going to have that dilemma to the extent that it has been made sort of the thing that we swing the pendulum around, right? Maybe it will still be there. I don't know. But then we also have the option of, for example, if people want to have this system and a basic system, and you could still have plans that are either associational base, like Mr. Kelly mm-hmm. mentioned, or even employer provided if someone wants to pay extra
right.
to have additional coverage over and above.
Like what you do with Medicare.
Correct.
Yeah. Well,
correct.
I think
we have not explored what could happen mm-hmm. and or what great thing we could mm-hmm. do and
so, short of a single payer system.
Or right. even having it single payer, but having other aspects where we can change it in a way that works to accommodate both sort of the philosophical sides, you know, where it's still private doctors making private decisions, but we have transparency, we have regulation in terms of this is what you're going to charge or not, and the costs and the administrative burdens on doctors and hospitals are way down, mm-hmm. so they're not necessarily losing money because we have this additional funding from that savings amount.
The problem I have with that, Vince, is price controls never work. Price controls just don't work, and that's the advantage of a competitive system as opposed to a single-payer system where you have price controls in effect. So that bothers me. I think what conservatives need to recognize, and I keep going back to this, is we need to get off of this thing about, and frankly, I think it's trying to embarrass President Obama and say, oh, we've got to eliminate all evidence of President Obama. I don't mm-hmm. care. I want to have a system that works. There are some things in this system that work and mm-hmm. and many things, many, many that don't work. And I think there are votes in Congress, if we can get off of that, that concept of repealing Obamacare for the sake of repealing it, and finesse that issue and just say, look, here's what the system is. We're going to do some major changes. Mm-hmm. Who cares if it's called repeal or not? I don't care.
We're getting hung up on these labels.
They're getting hung up on this political factor, and mm-hmm. I just think it's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and let me add to that. The other part of this is that I think I agree with John that people's views on healthcare, like I said, I mentioned 1948, the mm-hmm. Declaration of Human Rights and so forth. And yes, it was never really enshrined and what it really meant and how that comes to be. But people's views and perspectives in today's modern world of what they see as being available, and that there's so many that are not in this current market-based system. They see so many that are not covered, even right. with Obamacare.
This isn't a market-based system.
Even with Obamacare.
It just is.
There are so many people that are not going to be insured because it's all based on this idea of insurance where they've been reaping these profits, but we have not seen everybody get what at least people feel that they want or deserve. What I did, there's some interesting research for those that are wanting to find out, at least from the pro single payer or pro national health care program position.
Ben.
Yeah, there's a group called Physicians for a National Health Care Program. It's PNHP.org. Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of information from that perspective, of course, and you can look at the other arguments. But at the end of the day, I think the tide has turned from looking at healthcare as just a commodity. In other words, if you can afford it, great. If you can't, go die with your illness or disease. And so once you turn that corner philosophically that it's not just a commodity, mm-hmm. then it's a question of how are we going to provide something for everyone in terms of whether it's single payer or some kind of modified version of that.
I think everybody can agree something's got to be done.
Yeah. All right. And it will get done.
All right. John Munger, Vince Robigo, thank you, gentlemen. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Thank you, Moe, for your support. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. Well, the big story is North Korea, and who better to talk about it than General John Wickham. That's up next on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery, info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viral Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Viral Mori, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viral Mori on the web at viroamori.com. Welcome back. This portion of our program presented by Green Things. They do such a beautiful job, Jan and Jack, the owners, at 3384 East River Road for all of your gardening needs. And my goodness, with the weather like this, this is the perfect time to do that spring gardening. They have these very popular workshops on Friday afternoon from 1 to 3 and then Saturday morning from 10 to noon. This Friday afternoon, the topic will be edible things from our desert. So that should be an interesting topic. 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com for more information. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is General John Wickham. General Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was also Commander-in-Chief of the South Korean and United States Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served 4 decades in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Bill. Great to be on your wonderful program again.
Well, it is very serendipitous to have you on today, because one of your areas of many areas of expertise, certainly in foreign affairs, is the Korean Peninsula. And the big story really of the day is that exclusive interview that the Financial Times of London did with President Trump. And President Trump says basically he will tackle the North Korean issue alone if China will not stand with the United States.
Well, I hope he has a helmet on if he's going to do that. But I understand I'm no expert on North Korea, although I have lived in Korea over 4 years and understand the people somewhat. I study the language and have great friends over there. The situation with North Korea, I think, in my humble opinion, is the most dangerous threat America and our citizens face in the years to come. Why? Because it's a nation that could lead to nuclear war, and that would draw the United States in big ways. And number two, the North Korean leadership is run by an elite, not necessarily Kim Jong-un, who's a figurehead. The military are running North Korea, and they are surviving well. They like what they see, and they're going to keep him in power so that they can continue to benefit. And number three, the Chinese that have had, and I've spoken to China, Chinese leaders extensively on this. I've visited China several times and talked about the subject of North Korea, and they tell us, yes, North Korea is an ally, and we work closely with them, but the North Koreans do not listen to any advice, and we have tried to talk with them about moderating influence in the Korean Peninsula, and they shrug their shoulders and are indifferent towards it. So China cannot be a real help, I don't think, although we must rely on them. Does that mean we cannot do anything? Yes. I don't think we should do what President Trump is proposing, some sort of preemptive strike on North Korea. Number one, we don't know where their weapons are kept, probably in tunnels under mountains. So hard to find them, hard to destroy them. Number two, to try to attack is going to lead to a war, a devastating war. The North Koreans, whatever residual capability they have, they will retaliate. And they will retaliate with a viciousness that America has never seen before. So I think we have a very serious situation, but we can deal with them. And I don't think we can deal with them by preemptive attack. I think we have to deal with them by diplomacy. And here's another tragic element, Bill, in my humble opinion. This administration is cutting the State Department and its influence in negotiations around the world. At the very time when we need more diplomatic effort and more negotiations to keep the peace.
Well, let me ask you, would North Korea ever do a strike first on this country? Would they be that stupid? I'm sorry, but would they try to do something like that?
Excellent, excellent, as usual, excellent question, because it's an issue about is North Korea leadership irrational? I don't think so. Because I doubt that the North Korean leadership and its elite would seek to destroy everything that they have pursued for decades with a nuclear strike and the war. They know what will happen if there's a retaliation by the United States. It will destroy North Korea. They don't want that to happen. There's a belief in North Korea by experts that have been over there who understand the language, understand the culture. The North Koreans believe themselves to be the true patriots, the true believers in the Korean ethic, in the Korean family, and the Korean nation. And there's a belief in North Korea that they have this obligation, historic obligation, to reunify the peninsula their way. And so I doubt that this is going to lead the North Koreans to do something stupid or irrational. But the danger is, and you understand this in spades, Bill, the danger is a miscalculation. Some kind of an event can occur. I saw some of this over there when I was a commander, when we came close to going to war again because of mistake. And so we don't want to risk those kinds of things.
Would you say that our troops, the combined forces now, are at a very high level at this point, General?
Oh, you're exactly right. The troops in Korea are the highest state of alert of any of our troops around the world, always have been. And right now we're going through the traditional arrangements of exercises, bringing in thousands of American forces to prepare for defense. And that's what these whole exercises are, defense against the North Korean invasion. The North Koreans do not see that. They see this as getting ready for war to attack North Korea. That's the paranoia that they use to justify privations against the North Korean people. So it is a dangerous time, and it's one of the issues. I think China's proposed this. I think the time may be right for us to de-escalate these exercises. We can get along without them or with them fewer than once a year. We can use war games and exercises like that. So I think we can do things that can de-escalate if we're smart about it.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Matthew would like to speak with General Wickham. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Good, Matt.
Well, you know, obviously I referred in my last conversation to you about the defector, the former deputy ambassador from North Korea who defected with his family and who is basically, you know, warning everybody. He's not warning just the United States. He's warning the world of his concerns regarding the stability of the North Korean regime to get what they want right now. And so I agree with you. This is a very scary time. And I see the visit by the Chinese right now as what we would call trigger points. It's either going to be a trigger point for them to act before the Chinese, during the Chinese visit, or immediately following the Chinese visit.
Mm.
So if anybody in South Korea isn't thinking about the reality that they're facing right now, given their own tumultuous political situation, I'm sure that the commanders are very aware of it. But I mean, I'd be honest with you, if I was somebody and I had loved ones in South Korea, I would definitely consider getting them out.
Go ahead, Matt. Real quickly,
can you address why the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff felt necessary to invite Jared Kushner on a visit to Iraq? That, to me, sir, that sends a very strange signal, given his position in the administration. I do not understand why he would do that. I can understand a lower level visit by Jared Kushner with maybe another four star, but for the chairman to feel the need to take him on a personal tour, it seems very strange.
All right.
Excellent questions, Matt, as usual, and thanks for your service when in Korea. And number one, the point about the danger in South Korea is true, and we're now witnessing the tragic situation with the impeachment of Park Geun-hye, whom I know and my wife Anne knows very well and admire as a person and as a leader. And the South Koreans are going to have to go through the process of electing a new president. But the good news, and you understand this in spades, is that South Korea is going to go through this process in a legal, constitutional way, thanks to what America has done and the success in our policies there. So that's good news, but it's going to be a difficult situation, no doubt. Now, the point about Jared Kushner, whom I don't know, and the current chairman inviting him in. The current chairman is maybe seeking to have more influence in the government. And if he can make a connection with Mr. Kushner, that may be helpful to him. And also to what he's trying to do with the Defense Department and the military needs. So there may be an agenda here that is not apparent. So let's just see how it plays out.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the questioning, we're talking about North Korea. Would they do a first strike? We'll again address that. One of our listeners wants to know more about that with General Wickham when we continue.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Traveling is more than just a flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Coming up Memorial Day weekend. Oh my goodness, what a great event they've got. It's the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival, and it's free. That's the good news. The Ghost Town Blues Band out of Memphis, Tennessee will be the headliner. It's just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Should be a great Memorial Day weekend. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay. On our live line, former United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. General Wickham, we've been talking about North Korea. One of our listeners wanted to know a little bit about whether you think the military would go along with a first strike. Is this such a disciplined organization that they do not ask questions?
Good, very good question. I'm sure a lot of people have thought about that. I have too. And I've lived in an era when we could have gone to nuclear war in the Cold War. Would I have obeyed the orders of my superiors? Yes. We take a constitutional oath to do so, and we believe in that from the day one when we get our uniform on till the day we leave it off. So I believe it we would do that. I doubt they would not question the leadership of our commander-in-chief or the superiors in the chain of command.
Now, what about on the other shoe? Would the North Koreans obey any kind of order for a first strike?
Good question. Who knows? My belief is that they would, that there is a very authoritarian control and management style in North Korea, and that when the order comes down to do something, do it or you're going to lose your head, or your family's going to lose its head. And they've seen that. So there's been a privation and abuse of authority that the North Koreans have experienced that Americans cannot even imagine. And so I think that kind of authoritarian leadership, look what Hitler did in authorizing the killing of all of the beloved Jews in the war. And people were doing it. Germans were doing it because Hitler ordered it. So I think that, yes, the North Koreans will be able to carry out an order.
All right. General Wickham, how many nuclear weapons do they have in North Korea? And what about our special forces? You said that these weapons are pretty well hidden underground. Is there a way that our special forces could take out that nuclear arsenal?
The last point, Bill, no. We don't know where the weapons are kept. They're probably in tunnels on mountaintops. You'd have to find the tunnels and the entrances and exits. Difficult to do. We do have reconnaissance over North Korea, satellites, but aircraft, no. The North Koreans would shoot them down now. They tried to do it when I was the commander over there. So it's got to be satellites. And the North Koreans are clever about how they've done this. For example, in building tunnels, what do you do with the extract to take out of a tunnel? And so the North Koreans have figured out clever ways of getting rid of debris and signs of tunneling. So they're good about this. So I doubt we're going to have intelligence that tells us where the weapons are kept. And do we have the weapons capability to do it? Well, we have weapons that are huge, TNT-type weapons, not nuclear. They can really blow the top off of a mountain or close up entrances to tunnels. Yes, we can do those kinds of things. But do we want to start that kind of an operation which has no ending in sight? I don't think so. I think it's foolish. I think the U.S. military will argue vociferously against doing preemptive kind of strikes. But there are other ways of doing it. To come back to my earlier point, we've really got to find a negotiated settlement to the situation with North Korea. Our previous position has been, this is why we've gotten nowhere, we have insisted, we're not going to sit down with you North Koreans until you agree, number one, to get rid of your nuclear weapons. That's a non-starter. The North Koreans are never going to get rid of their nuclear weapons, in my humble opinion. It is their guarantee of survival and protection. So I think we have to begin from the start and say, okay, we accept you as a nuclear power, and let us see how we can constrain that power the way we did with the USSR, which was successful, the way we have done with Iran, which was successful and is successful. So I think we have a basis of dealing with North Korea if we're smart about it and if we're aggressive about it and if we don't sort of beat the drums about war too loudly.
Is it safe to say, General Wickham, the meeting that the president will have with the Chinese leadership this week is certainly the most vital meeting of his young presidency?
Amen, it is. And I think that if he's good about this, I think we can make some progress. But if we continue to raise this issue about the One China policy, and let's reexamine the One China policy, that's foolish. Because the Taiwanese will just go ballistic over this, and so will China. So I think we've got to avoid sort of stirring the pot in the wrong direction. And are we going to raise serious concerns about what China's doing in the South China Sea? Well, there are things we can do there. Here again, negotiate with them. The Chinese regard the South China Sea as their Caribbean, their province, if you will, their influence. And so there's only so much we can do. But I think you're exactly right, Bill. We have to work closely with the Chinese, build a dialogue that is effective, and a relationship in diplomacy that is going to be useful.
If you were advising the president about this meeting, what would you advise him, sir?
I would advise him, number one, that we have to have a dialogue on North Korea. And agree on number one, we have to recognize North Korea as a nuclear power. Number two, what can we do to help North Korea remain in the family of nations in a responsible way? And that means more controls over North Korean behavior, maybe back to the non-proliferation treaty that the North Koreans originally signed, get them back to sign it again and allow for inspections, allow for controls over the export of nuclear technology and materials. I think we can work out those deals. And I think the Chinese would be willing to do that, given their influence, which China does not want to see North Korea become another South Korea with the U.S.
All right, General Wickham. want to wish you and Anne, your lovely wife, a wonderful and blessed Easter coming up, and we certainly appreciate your support.
Well, God bless, Bill. You got a wonderful program that informs the population around here, and appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you very much, General John Wickham, who visits with us on the first Monday, usually, of the month. General Wickham with us the first Monday of the month during the 12:30 to 1 half hour. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw. Mike's got a great show lined up this afternoon. He'll be talking about the spring SABA, Southern Arizona Home Builders Association Home Show, with the head of SABA, David Godlewski, and Mr. Godlewski will be here with Mike on Mike Check this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, and then Talking Culture from 9 to 10, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray Allen. Ray and I will be together here tomorrow at 12:04. Hope you'll be with us. Until then, we hope you have a great afternoon.